Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the love of God, for the grace of God. Yes, even the knowledge of God that has conveyed to our hearts such wonderful truth. Truth that bringeth understanding, and understanding bringeth peace. We praise you. We magnify you. We extol thy name for the spiritual blessings that you wrought in eternity, that you manifested to us. We, through revelation, have received so great a blessing. Now, as we come into the Word of God this morning, we ask, Lord, that you bless us, that you enlighten us, that you elucidate us, give us illumination. Hallelujah, that we can praise you the more. Oh, my God, hallelujah, that we can walk according to that which you have so graciously, eternally designed to those that you have loved from the beginning. Now, Father, we ask that you touch my body this morning that I might minister the word of God. That you give us insight and bless us in this hour. So we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to take your Bibles. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29, which is the base documentation for what we have been dealing with for some time. And I know we've been on the glorious body of Christ, the church, for months now. I don't think that it's overkill. The body of Christ is where you will eternally dwell. It is your eternal abode. Eternally, God has placed you there. It is your home. It is your habitation. Not the New Jerusalem. No. Amen. That's a glorious place for those that will dwell there. And you will be there too, because where he is, you will be. Because the body doesn't go anywhere. Amen. Except it is connected to the head. And so if the head is there and Christ is there, and you will be there. But amen. We have an abode that goes beyond. We have an abode that transcends any human thinking. Amen. The body of Christ is not a physical or earthly, amen, habitation. It is spiritual. Amen. Apostle Paul, he writes the church at Ephesus in verse 3 of chapter 1. Don't go there. I'm just going to quote from it. Amen. Basically, he is identifying our locale. That is in Christ Jesus. In Christu Iesu. In the essence of Christ. Amen. And what that means. Oh, there's no greater blessing that a creature can be the part of, amen, than to be interconnected, amen, and inextricably amalgamated, oh my God, into the essence of Christ. And this is why Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And so we dare to stop a while and linger on this. This is the most important information that a child of God can receive. And that is where your abiding and abode and habitation is. Amen. In the essence of Christ. This becomes the basis of your life. He is our eternal hope. In Him is our aspirations. In Him is everything that is touching life and what life is about. And outside of Him, there's no life. And there's no hope. Amen. And there are no plausible aspirations. It's in Him. It's all about Him. Not just about Him, it's all about Him. Amen. We praise Him this morning. So we continue to dwell upon the glorious body of Christ, the church. What is the church? Amen. Now we have earthly manifestations of those to give testimony to those who are members of the body of Christ, and God, it has pleased God to allow the members in earthly manifestation to dwell in local assemblies and organizations. But these are the manifestations. The actualized entity is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. A spiritual organism, not an earthly organization. So in this sense, we continue our foray into the essence of what God has conveyed to those of us whom He loved from eternity. The liberal man shall be our designated reader this morning. Elder, I want you to, as always, let's go into verse 26 to 31. I'll try my best not to comment because we have a long ways to go here. As I looked through this last night, I said, oh Lord, how can I by the end of the year get through this? Amen. And of course, if I don't, there's nothing that stops me into going into 2005 to deal with it. But in conjunction with our scriptures in the third chapter of Galatians, we will be looking at Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 through 20, in which we have begun there last week and the week before, as we continue our progression as we look at the body of Christ. And our focus now has moved from the body to the head. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's deal with the body aspect of this glorious union first. Amen. And then we'll look at the most glorious part of it. Amen. Because the head has no meaning. The body, rather, has no meaning without the head. Alright, everybody got the third chapter of Galatians, verse 26, amen? Alright, read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26.
Uh-huh.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
That's the only way you can be child of God, is through the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. That is the basis of your entrance into the body of Christ. It is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. The propitiation that, transpired in the eternal realm long before 2,000 years ago, which it was manifested. Amen. In eternity, the Lamb of God was slain. Oh my God. Read.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Again, baptizo is not speaking here in this context of anything that is physical.
Amen.
It's not talking about water baptism. The Spirit does not water baptize anyone. Amen. Oh, the Spirit doesn't perform physical ceremonies. Amen. So here he is speaking about those who have been identified in Christ, and that is synonymous with the term put on Christ. Those who identified in Christ have put on Christ. Amen. All right, read.
Verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
There's neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male and female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
One essence of those many members, amen, amalgamated into one body. Oh my God. Oh my God. Only, yes. Only God could take all of us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about all of us. And I just said me, amen. It took a lot to take me and put me into his body.
Glory.
Woo, hallelujah. Oh my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-mm-mm. This is why in the third chapter of Ephesians he speaks to the end that he points at and he displays to the principalities and power of the mouth of wisdom, his power, amen, and his expressed wisdom. He points to you and points to me and all of those that he has placed into this body.
Yes.
He said, now see, that's when you look and manifestly what they were, amen, and manifestly everything concerning them in the depraved mode.
Yes.
And now look at the nature of those who I took out of the, oh my God, took out of the poverty. Yes. And given them a new nature, the new man, the new hallelujah, the new creation.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. All right, read that last verse. I don't want to get caught up there. Read.
And if ye be Christ,
mm-hmm,
then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Again, and I'll always make mention of this, that promise is not the Abrahamic promise. Here he's referencing the promise of justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
His expiation and the determinant of his propitiatory sacrifice being sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the promise he's talking about. Oh my God. All right, now let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. Elder, I want you to read that entire five verses for context sake. Then by exegesis, we shall deal with each one. All right, everyone has Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, reader, read.
Colossians 1, 15.
In fact, why don't you read all five verses, 15 through 20, and then we will begin our exposition. Read.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, they are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Now the church say amen. Oh my God. You know, it's, as he reads that, I'm looking, and it's all about him. About who our Savior is. Who our God is. And the fact that this same God is the head of this body. My God. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. And that we are complete in Him.
Yes.
And all that He is get transpired to us. Defining what the true nature of God really is, of what we have been made partakers of. And in verse 20, which we'll get to further down, amen, in our discourse, is basically written manifestation-wise of the testimony of all of this culminating and bringing about all such a glorious inheritance in Him. Oh, what a blessing. These words are almost too wonderful for human beings to, amen, to be privy to comprehend. And so many of God's people, we don't have a clue. We're not able to appreciate it because, amen, we have not the elucidation of those things that pertain to us, who we are. We don't know who we are because we don't really know who He is. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And it means everything to say new creation, new man, in Christ Jesus. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That is a glorious thing. That is a blessed thing. Amen. That is mind-boggling. Amen. That lowly, depraved, no good creatures, amen, ultimately receive the nature of the eternal God. Amen. And this is why we shall spend several outings focusing on the head, the worth and the value of the body, amen, is invested in the head. It is imperative that we understand and we know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
That He indeed is God.
Yeah.
Now, I'll read that 15th verse again. Everybody look real closely. Amen. Wake up this morning and amen. There's something great there's happiness that's going on. Oh my God. Amen. Wonderful truth, wonderful information, wonderful knowledge. Oh my God. Read.
Verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
All right, as we have conveyed, we shall briefly go back over this from the Greek text. As it reads, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and what we had conveyed on our previous outings, amen, that there are two important facts describing who Jesus is. First, He is the image of the God who is invisible to the eyes of men. And here again, amen, we look at the literal translation, os esting ikon to theo to arati, is rendered who is the image of God, the invisible. And if we look at the word the now ikon translated image, we notice it is the subject of the verse. And it denotes the meaning of replicable, but yet when we look at the fact that it reads God the invisible, so He is speaking of the image of that which is invisible, which is not speaking of, amen, the historical of the physical Jesus that many beheld. For Paul says that though we have known Him after the flesh, those who knew Him or viewed Him in the physical or historical sense, no, we do not know Him, amen, in that manner going forth, amen. We know Him as, amen, though we have known Him as the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel, and we have known Him as a healer of the sick, and we anoint him as one who has given sight to the blind, and though we have known him as one who raised Lazarus from the dead, and even we know him, amen, as the one who manifestly hung upon Calvary, amen. We, amen, know him now, no longer in the physical, amen, recognizable, amen, the sense of that which was manifest in the earth, but we know him in the spiritual sense of the head of the body, our champion, our Lord, our God, who has given us his nature.
Glory.
And this means everything. Because on any given day, you can look around and things are just going haywire. As the young people said, things are all messed up. But they're not. They're not. Amen. Oh my God. Everything that happens to you is just an incident on your way to the full manifestation of what he has already done. Amen. And whatever comes, passes. It comes, it goes. Amen. And this is why Paul said, I've learned in whatever state that I'm in to be content. Amen. Whatever it is. And this is why Paul, amen, could rejoice in prison, and he says, even though Paul is bound, but the gospel is free. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. As long as the message and the information is alive and working and its conveyance is freely flowing, Paul said, I'm happy because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. Because it's not about Paul. He says it's all about Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
But you would have to have this information to understand that.
That's right.
The problem with us fully identifying and rejoicing in the fact of who we are as members of his body is that we have not fully comprehended who he is.
All right.
Who is Jesus? Amen. As we said last week, very quickly, so just reiterate a few things. In John 1:18, of course, the different manuscripts, they disagree as to the wording, as to whether it is the only begotten God or the only begotten Son. And I'm saying, fellows, don't argue about that. Amen. Son is the God.
Yeah.
Amen. And actually, if you put a comma there, you said the only begotten, comma, God. Or you can say the only begotten, comma, Son. Amen. And you're saying the same thing. Oh my God. As it reads on, who is in the bosom of the Father, amen, him he manifested, that sells it. Jesus is the expression of the eternal Godhead for manifestation purposes. Amen. It is in the realm of manifestation that he, that is God, has, amen, the eternal Godhead, amen, and this is why he is eternal, because he is an expression of the eternal Godhead. And this is why you should not separate him, amen, from the Godhead. Jesus said to Thomas, he who has seen me, he has seen the Father. Amen. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And this is not just double talk. Amen. This isn't rambling. Amen. This is light. This is information. Oh my God. Now the second fact concerning Jesus is he is the firstborn of all creation. We have the Greek word prototokos is rendered firstborn. Now in some instances in Luke and in Hebrew it basically is speaking about the firstborn in a family. However, the majority usage of prototokos is in reference to Jesus Christ, amen, and who he is, and God's purpose in establishing the expression of the Son that he might be first among believers that would be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. Note that firstborn is used twice as a proper name in Hebrews 1 and 6 and Hebrews 12 and 23. Both instances it is used as a proper name. Amen. As it establishes and emphasizes various usages of that which is first prioritized in eternity and in time respectively. Without the manifestation aspect, there would have been no need for the expression of the Son. Follow me here now. There should never be any separations of the essence of the Godhead. In that Paul's epistles, and this is our gospel, which gives the greatest light of information, the epistles consistently present Jesus Christ as his role in sonship. Amen. So firstborn conveys the design of such. If you look at Romans 1 and 4, we don't have time. Amen. Ephesians 3:19, Colossians 2 and 9, and Colossians 3 and 3. Amen. We see that the deity of Christ is by all evidence cogently documented, and the terminology prototokos, firstborn, emphasizes the fact that Christ existed prior to the creation of the universe and prior to all things that are in it. And this is in concert with the workings of God's sovereign purpose, amen, which existed prior to the creation of the universe, amen. Prior to all things, there was the existence of the eternal Christ, amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. So actually you can say, amen, God was in Christ,
right.
Amen. Reconciling the world unto himself, amen, in eternity as he was in Christ, amen, reconciling, manifestly reconciling the world to him in the sphere of time. Now, amen, let's see, that clock is, amen, moving. Let's go to the 16th verse. Elder, why don't you just read that verse?
Verse 16.
Mm-hmm, everybody with us. All right, read.
For by him were all things created,
mm-hmm.
that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Now from the Greek text, translation, because all things were created by him in the heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible things, whether thrones, or dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and unto him. Amen. Through him and unto him. And I'm going to have to go here, I've got to do it, to the grammar to really bring out the essence of those things are so, amen, expressed and given for enlightenment. Here, the literal, amen, reading is O-T-E, off to ekatiste tarpanda, is rendered because all things were created by him. Now, amen, as we look at the dated case and we look, amen, at its the object of the preposition, we see to the expression, amen, by him, amen, this could be either in what we call the instrumental case, which conveys by the means of, so we can say by the means of Christ, it could be, amen, what we call the locative case, which would mean in the sphere of, amen. So this could read either by him or in him. Follow me here now. All things were created by him and in him, you could say. Huh? Not only by him, it's in him. Now that's going to throw some people. Because when we look at the Greek verb ekkadisti, rendered create, it conveys the connotation to make or to form something out of nothing. We reference 1 John 1 and 3. Note that this is exclusively the description of the work of God. So if you separate Jesus from God, you've already messed up here. Huh? You're already confused. Here one can observe the fact that all things were created by means of Jesus Christ. The following expressions detail the extensiveness of what his creation entails. Note the litany of conveyances. The heavens, the earth, including the visible and the invisible. We'll deal with that in a second. Somebody said, what did he create invisible? Amen. Well, the wind. No, that's visible because you can feel it. Oh my God, huh? We'll deal with that in a minute. It also engenders thrones and dominions, rulers, and authority. Let's look at this information. What it exudes is that regardless of where there is existence in the universe, whether upon the earth or in the heavens or outer space or wherever, there is existence. All of the surroundings of all things were created both by and in Christ Jesus. Follow me now. I don't want to lose anyone this morning. Hence, nothing exists in the universe apart from Christ having created it. Whether it is so minute that it cannot be seen, or so gargantuan that it cannot be comprehended. So from the greatest to the smallest. Sometimes I make the expression, amen, I don't know where I got it from, but amen, I'm sure I didn't make it up, but even if I did, amen, it has some substance to it, that a fly doesn't wiggle its left wing. Unless the Lord, amen, allows it. So no matter how small it is, I am the testimony. And this is something that we have to realize, that even the little small things that we think that God wouldn't bother with because that's too small. He has to. Because without him, even the little small things won't happen.
That's it. Amen. Yes.
Or they could be so gargantuan that it is beyond comprehension, the vastness of the universe, yet nothing moves, nothing stirs, nothing has a notion to even think about doing anything except, amen, it receives the honor of that which has been invested in the decree of God that he eternally purposed. So nothing goes down. Hallelujah. Without him. And this is so important for us to understand. As we look through it and we see who he is. This same one is he whose nature you have received. That should just blow our minds. Somebody's preaching this morning about two fish and five loaves of bread. And that's okay. But there's so much more. Somebody's preaching this morning about the man with the leprosy being healed. That's fine. But there's so much more. Somebody's preaching this morning about Jesus walking on water. And that's great. But that's nothing compared to who he is. And what it means to be in him. Somebody's focusing this morning.
Yes.
And prioritizing being delivered financially. I hope everybody in here, I hope you get out of debt. I hope you, amen, you sow and you have a lot, but not so much that you forget about God. But, amen, I wish you well. But that's on the minute end. When we speak of things that are gargantuous, of things that are so large, and the mass of it, amen, is so encompassing that we cannot comprehend it. We are talking about his role as the head of the body and who we are in him. We're talking about the eternal workings of what he has so graciously provided for us.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Because whatever is going on down here, it's going to pass. If he gave you a promotion on the job, I thank God for you. But, that job is temporary. If he blessed you with a new house this morning, I thank God for it. It's temporary. If he blessed you with a new car, well, that's very temporary. Huh? Soon as you drive off the showroom floor, amen. In fact, they don't like to use the term. They don't like the term. They'll use the term used car no more. They call it pre-owned.
Pre-owned.
They said nobody wants anything that's used. But I'm telling you, it's temporary. Amen. Healing's temporary. But when you say body, you're talking everlasting. If you're going to focus on something, here's something that's temporary, and here's something everlasting, which one are you going to prioritize? So why is the preacher this morning prioritizingly focused on the temporary when you have, amen, that which is so great and powerful?
Yes.
And so all
glory.
Enduring.
Amen. Yes.
As the body that is the creation of the head.
All right.
seen, and which is temporary, but the spiritual that is unseen, invisible, if you please, but eternal. God help his people to know who we are.
Yes, Lord.
We don't know who we are. Why do you think Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? What are you talking about, Paul? If you're dead, you know, you're off the scene. Look off all of the great things in life that you missed. Paul said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, I don't know. He said, you know, if I was in it, I didn't feel it. If I was out of it, I sure didn't miss it. But, amen, I was caught up in the third heavens, and I was allowed to see things that I can't even tell you. Not that I would want to, amen, but there are no human words to express it. That Greek word is not lawful, as the King James writes. Nomos is the Greek word for lawful.
Right.
There is no derivative of nomos there. That Greek word means unalterable. See, I know what I saw, but human language won't allow me to express it. And that's really how the body of Christ is. And you wonder why in the scriptures it doesn't give expression of the essence of those things that are going on in Christ Jesus. I mean, after all, now it talks about New Jerusalem, where the Commonwealth of Israel and its constituents which dwell. It talks about the streets of gold. It talks about the gates of pearl. Amen. It speaks about all of the gloriousness of it. And it's so glorious unto those who walk by sight. They say, hey, let me have that. But then Paul says, concerning those of us who are in Christ Jesus, he says, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men those things that Christ, that God has for those, what?
Love
who love him. Or who are called to love him.
Yes, yes.
So, but he has revealed them unto us.
Yes.
So what does he mean? He doesn't tell us about it. Amen. Huh? Yes, he did. It reads in Christu Iesu, in Christ Jesus. You can't say no more than that. Because if you are identified and associated with the Creator, that's more than anything that can be expressed, amen, as coming from the Creator. What's more, the Creator or creation? The Creator.
Glory.
New creation. What does that entail? And so, we focus on the head. The last phrase in verse 16. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to wrap it up this morning. Literally reads, Ta pandan ti aftu ke is afton ekdisne rendered. All things were created through him and unto him. Here we have a preposition, and I've got to go, amen, to a little grammar here. Thea, it is rendered through. It is in the genitive case. The genitive case shows what?
Possession.
Amen. Which says that something owns something. Huh? Here it's emphasizing the fact that all things were created through the agency of Jesus Christ, as he was the divine agent in creation. Which we don't have time, Ephesians 3:9, Hebrews 1 and 2 and 11 and 3 and first, and we corroborated in John chapter 1 verse 3, which we'll deal with John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 next week. We don't have time. I don't want to get into the thing, amen, and then drop it. It's going to take a little time. We got a problem when you start trying to separate Jesus from the Godhead. And to make him anything but God. And to get into this thing about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost being distinct persons as though there's a committee on the Godhead. One intelligence center. Godhead. And all things in creation, for which the expression of the Son is designed.
Glory.
Manifestation. Mm-hmm. Wise will be expressed in the essence of the Son. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so John writes, I said I wasn't going to get into it. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. It was with God, and it was God, and of course, amen, the King James kind of messed that up a little bit. We'll straighten that out next week. You see, when you start to thinking physical, natural, versus spiritual, you've already drawn a line of demarcation, because spiritual can't be physical or natural, and physical and natural can't be spiritual. And spirit is spirit. And when you speak of the Godhead, it is spirit. The Jews understood that when you said God, you were talking about anything natural. You was talking about that which is spiritual. But you got to understand what the image of the invisible is.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Look at what this is saying. We have the genitive case, which means all things are owned by him. By who? By Christ. He said, well, wait a minute. Is it by the Father or by the Son? No, by God. To say by Christ is to say by God. As it is to say by the Father is to say by God. Notice here, as a wind-up, two expressions. One is three of two, and the other one is east of two. Three of two is through him, or by him, as may be expressed by some. And east of tone is unto him. Unto him. What do you mean by through him and unto him? It means that all things belong to him, as he was the initiation agent through whom all things were created in the heavens and upon earth. Accordingly, all things were created through him, Christ, and unto him, Christ. This is a reaffirmation of the entire gamut of the structure of creation.
Glory.
Follow me now. This is a reaffirmation of the entire gamut of the structure of creation. Remember what we said, the expression of the Godhead that is devised for the manifestation of creation is the expression of the Son. As Christ was both the means have been created. That is God's design. Follow me here at the close. The preposition thea, rendered through with the genitive, consistently expresses the idea of the agency of one single Godhead. I think I said that again.
Glory.
When you said through,
yes.
And it's in the genitive case, possession.
Yes.
If you're going to split the Godhead into a committee, and you use the expression that is a genitive of possession, which means that which is owned. The question is, are things owned by the Father or are things owned by the Son? Things are owned by the Father and the Son. So what are you talking about? It can't be both. You see, when you split them, you got a problem. True, as used with the genitive, consistently expresses the idea of a single agent, one Godhead. One Godhead. Because, and we'll deal with this next week, when you start talking about persons, you're speaking about some type of distinction.
Yes.
Follow me now. If you want to manifestly look at the physical structure of Jesus, amen, as the Lord is Nazarene, amen, and you distinguish him from the Father, there's some aspect to it. But if you look at the image of the invisible God, whatever you see in God, you see in Jesus.
Glory to God. God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
That is if you're looking at him spiritual.
Thank you.
And not physically. Not natural. There is one single Godhead. The preposition is rendered unto sets forth an important, exceedingly important, I might say, truth. Here, the word aphton is in the accusative case. The accusative case is the what?
Direct
object. Amen. So the direct object is, amen, conveyed to us, and it speaks, and it says one thing, and we'll pick this up in the next verse, because there we have what we call an intensive pronoun. An intensive pronoun. When you have an intensive pronoun, it is rendered he himself. Of the man himself. You've heard that expression. So if you say the man himself, and you're fully wrong with persons, who is the man himself? Is the man himself the Father? Or is the man himself the Son? Or is the man himself the Holy Spirit? See, they're all messed up. You have more persons. Here we have the accusative case, which expresses the fact that Christ is not only the agent in producing creation, but he himself. Everybody say he himself.
Yeah.
He himself is the end. He is the object. He is the reason for all creation. It's all about him. Thus, life has meaning and purpose only for those who identified with him through his gift of faith. And we take up there next week. And I'm telling you, if you're going to ever appreciate the new creation, the new man, and what you are in Christ Jesus, you're going to have to learn to appreciate to the fullest aspect who Christ Jesus is. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.
Thank God. Thank God.